Encounter with God, number 4, the third generation, Genesis chapter 4. Today we're going to delve into an odd phrase that requires me to use the English Standard Version in order to give a more literal translation. It says, "At that time men began to call in the name of Yahweh." Let's see where we are in human history here. God created Adam, that's first generation. Adam begat Cain and Abel. That was the second generation. Of course, Cain killed Abel. Adam then begat Seth. He was still the second generation then. And Seth begat Enosh. That was the third generation. Each father begat a son and called his name. Then people began to call in the name of Yahweh. And where are we in spiritual history of worship? Let's go back to that. Abel had brought a holy offering, right? Cain had rebelled. Seth was holy like Abel had been. Enosh was then continuing the family heritage, while Cain was exiled. So, by the time grandson Enosh was around, worship was being established in the tradition of Abel, not of Cain, calling on the name of the Lord. This is not the only time that the phrase is used. Ananias told brother Saul that he was to be baptized, calling on his name. The psalmist says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Peter quotes Joel in proclaiming that all who call on his name shall be saved. Isaiah quotes the psalm saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, declare his salvation from day to day." Paul tells the Romans, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, we should probably assume that calling upon the name of the Lord is a good thing, even an essential part of salvation itself. But why? And what does that mean exactly? Calling on and doing things in the name of the Lord is something that soaks into every act of the believer. In desperate times, we cry out to the name of God for deliverance. In baptism, we call on the name of the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. We gather as believers in Jesus' name. Jesus said that whatever we ask when we pray in his name, it will be done. We find salvation and forgiveness and answered prayer in that name, the name that is above every name, the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, calling on the name of God implies that we've forsaken self as Lord, that'd be the way of Cain, and followed instead the way of Abel and Seth and Enosh, the opposite of the proud and stubborn sin of Cain. So it seems that perhaps the line of Adam through Seth and Enosh has discovered something. Repentance and reliance on the character and nature, the name of the Lord, is the cure for self-will and reliance on self. A strong multi-generational family was beginning to incorporate intergenerational worship into their pattern of living. But it does not last, you know. Each generation must decide to call on the name of the Lord. The next link in the chain weakens, and then what follows is unstable as well. We're soon going to discover in Genesis that the entire human race has gone bad, that every thought and inclination of their hearts was evil all the time. That's pretty complete corruption. So what happened between here in chapter 4 and chapter 6? It was admittedly hundreds of years and a handful of generations, but it really doesn't take long, does it? The first generation to go astray remembers what it was like to grow up in a godly home. The second generation only has exposure through grandparents. The daily example is already corrupted. By the third generation or so, any family remembrance of worship and calling on the name of the Lord is lost and not even a part of distant memory. So, in some ways, I guess this little statement in Genesis about people beginning to call on the name of the Lord is sad. After all, people in the first and second generations had communicated directly with God. He spoke with Adam, even with Cain of all people, but we don't see any others conversing with God. We have to go all the way to Noah before God speaks again with an individual person. So maybe calling on the name of the Lord is due to a certain distance and silence that had come between us and him. In any case, it is up to you and me to choose to call upon the name of the Lord. Whether crying out in desperation for the first time as lost prodigals seeking refuge, or We are walking by faith and declaring victory in his name. Equally, we depend upon that name. God called himself I Am to Moses and described himself as showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And Jesus, his son, promised, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So, how do we call upon the name of the Lord? I'm glad you asked. Maybe it's a matter of saturation, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.